In San Francisco yesterday, baseball superstar Barry Bonds spent more than 5 hours before a federal grand jury. Bonds testified in the investigation of a California laboratory accused of making and supplying a previously undetectable illegal steroid called THG. 9 prominent athletes have tested positive for the drug. In the second of 2 reports on the doping scandal, NPR's Tom Goldman reports new substances will continue to emerge as this country wrestles with its attitudes about performance-enhancing drugs.
3 months. That's how long it took Dr. Don Catlin and 8 colleagues at the UCLA Olympic Analytical Laboratory to unravel the mystery of THG. It took time, the best drug-hunting minds, and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of sophisticated lab machinery to first identify the illegal anabolic steroid that was cooked up by someone somewhere, and then to devise a test to catch the THG users. After all that, Dr. Catlin, the lab's director, can sit at his desk in West Los Angeles, click on his computer mouse, and imagine the daunting challenge again and again and again.
In 1 second, I could show you on my screen various sites where you can buy starting materials to make steroids. And you can buy it by the ton.
Catlin clicks, and his cyber steroid tour lands in Asia.
The site happens to be located in China. And if you click on the products, all of these are steroids, methoxydienone, methyl estradienone, a lot of things here that we ought to know about and be studying.
Someone is studying. The appearance of THG is proof. And now that THG is getting saturation coverage in the media, Catlin is convinced illegal steroid makers, the unscrupulous side, he calls them, are on to the next concoction. The question is, who's doing it? A solitary science whiz? An underground network of people? Opinions vary.
Together we witness one of the most delightful in our time. So, let the bass go.
With music thumping from his car stereo, a veteran bodybuilder nicknamed BW stands in the parking lot of Gold's Gym in Venice, California, pondering questions about designer drugs. The gym in Venice is known as the Mecca for bodybuilding and a place where you could always find out the latest about steroids. But the free flow of information changed after 1991 when non-prescription steroids became illegal. BW is 5'9" and a rippling 280 pounds, all natural, he says. He chuckles at the notion of a shadowy steroid underworld.
If somebody's doing it, they're doing it out of their own basement, and it's starting a rumor themselves to get it out there. And usually that's how a lot of things get started. It's usually somebody said this, and most of it's bogus. But, you know, that's how a lot of the businesses work.
But on the other side of the country, sports supplement maker William Llewellyn thinks the designer steroid web is a bit thicker.
You know, is there one developer out there? I doubt it. I think there are probably several people that are working, developing products like this, because this is a tremendously high value for a steroid that will not, come up on a drug screen.
William Llewellyn is not in the steroid business, but he claims to know a lot about it. He used anabolic steroids for 10 years. The website for his Florida-based sports nutrition company, Molecular Nutrition, features Llewellyn's 400-page steroid manual called Anabolics. It includes a new section on designer steroids, which he says are not extremely easy to make.
You know, in the case of THG, you're talking about somebody that certainly had some proficiency in chemistry, some proficiency in steroid, you know, chemistry and, you know, biochemistry and what have you.
Llewellyn won't say if he knows anyone who makes designer steroids, but he does send a revealing email. It's an excerpt from an internet chat room discussion in which an anonymous person outlines how to make the designer steroid of the moment using a 4-step chemical process. After step 4, the person writes, "Voila! THG. Back at the Olympic lab in Los Angeles, Don Catlin has stepped away from his computer and what he considers the bleak world of internet steroids. He needs some technology that makes him feel better, and he finds it in a back room.
It's a high-resolution mass spectrometer, and we use it for the most difficult and complex problems that we face. We did a lot of the THG work on this instrument.
This $500,000 machine gave scientists a better idea of THG's molecular structure, helping them unravel the mystery. But Catlin's already thinking about the next designer steroid and what his lab may be missing right now as it goes through its daily routine of testing athletes' urine samples.
Now we're faced with the certain reality that even though we've been doing a good job in regular testing, the tests that we have are just not up to the task of keeping drugs out of sport.
Still, Don Catlin calls the THG scandal a rare, precious moment when the public and sports organizations worldwide are interested in the doping issue. The scandal still could grow, depending on what a federal grand jury and other investigations reveal. Catlin says when everything's out in the open, he hopes there's widespread support for strong action.
The problems can be solved. You could have drug-free sport in 5 years if you put your mind to it. You won't get all drug users out of sport. If that's your goal, you'll be frustrated. But you can have all top-level sport be drug-free.
If, Catlin says, you've got the money to wage a realistic battle against doping. The money depends particularly on rich sports organizations developing Don Catlin's intolerance for doping, sharing his deep belief that steroids and other performance-enhancing drugs are unethical and dangerous. And it's on that point that William Llewellyn agrees this is an important moment, but for a vastly different reason. With so much attention focused on steroids, he says it's an opportunity to ask if they really are unethical and dangerous.
I do think definitely that steroids in general have this the stigma about them. They're so demonized, you know, when it comes to discussions about steroids and, you know, just in the general population. I don't think certainly that steroids are outright bad drugs. I think that under the right circumstances, they can be used to the benefit of one's health.
And one's athletic performance, which in Don Catlin's world is cheating. But isn't it also unfair for a runner to spend time in a legal high-altitude tent or a swimmer to wear a legal sharkskin suit? There are plenty of people for whom those are valid questions, and plenty of people in this pill-popping, tummy-tucking society who think nothing of enhancing performance or adding muscle to their body with steroids. Resolving the debate over what's fair and what's safe could be as vexing as figuring out who made THG. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
The first report in the series is at npr.org.